This morning, I am having tea with members of the cast and the director of the Farmers Alley Theatre production of Gypsy, and I would like to gratefully welcome director Kathy Moulet, Michael Ehlers, who plays Herbie, Mary Jo Mecca, who is Mama Rose, and Stephanie Maloney, who plays Louise, who transforms into the Gypsy Rose Lee of fame, of burlesque fame. So all of you here, thank you very much for joining me here at WMUK.
Thanks for having us.
I would like to start with you, Kathy Moulet. This project is under your captainship. And of course, if listeners don't already know, Kathy Moulet is one of the most storied directors we have in West Michigan. And this is something that you're both very familiar with and yet want to bring something of yourself to and your experience to.
What's so wonderful about Gypsy, and it's my favorite kind of show, is that it's a story about real people. And so we are doing justice to the people that live those lives. So we have the opportunity to study them and to respect their memories.
Why is Gypsy called Gypsy?
Well, it is based on the memoirs that Gypsy Rose Lee wrote, a book. And it's her story from early childhood to her career and what became of her and how it happened. The story starts out when the girls are little, and Mama Rose, who is the stage mother of all stage mothers, wants her daughter June, who later became the famous June Havoc, to become a star. And she was a talented little girl. She could dance and she could sing. And Rose built this entire show around her for vaudeville. Louise, later known as Gypsy Rose Lee, was the older child. She was shy, she was awkward, and she was kind of always pushed in the background. She played one of the boys in the show, or she played the head of a cow, or whatever. She was never featured and was reminded pretty consistently that she was not talented. And the story, Gypsy, really is that relationship, the story of the relationship between that very strong mother and this child who grows up to become someone so well known. I think it's pretty fascinating to think that a striptease artist could get the fame that Gypsy Rose Lee did. Mm-hmm. And what made her so famous wasn't because she took off lots of clothes. It's because she really understood the word tease. And she would tease her audience. Her mother taught her, make them want it, but then don't give it to them. And that's what became her trademark, her wit, her charm. She was funny, and she rose to quite acclaim, even more famous than her sister June Havoc.
That sounds like something Hitchcock once said about being suggestive rather than blatant, you know.
Well, and there have been several books written. Not only Gypsy wrote her memoirs, but June Havoc wrote her autobiography, and Rose Havoc, the mother, also wrote a book. So, and when you put all three of them together, it's kind of like, okay, who shall we really believe as to how this really happened? It's been fascinating to study it all.
This show was first put on stage in the 50s or early 60s?
1959.
Mm-hmm. And it was harkening back to an earlier era, this vaudeville.
Yes, the era. 20s and the 30s, early 30s.
So they were looking back at a different style of music and stage performance.
Well, and historically, we visit the 20s in that period when vaudeville was so famous. In the Orpheum Circuit, which the State Theater here in Kalamazoo was part of that Orpheum Circuit, and the demise of that into burlesque. And, you know, it was interesting for us to really discuss the fact that burlesque started in the 1800s as political comedy. And it eventually, with the Depression, became seedier and seedier and became the striptease was the main focus of burlesque.
Right. That's the definition we know today.
Yes, it is.
The daughters were felt free to write their memoirs after Mama Rose died. And this was in the 50s, so this was a very fresh turnaround, it seems to me, from the memoirs to the stage adaptation.
Yeah, it was only 2 years. And Arthur Lawrence, who wrote the book, when he was approached about doing this as a project, didn't really have any interest until he read it. And the character of Mama Rose is what really intrigued him. And so even though the show is called Gypsy, it's really Mama Rose who drives the entire production. I mean, that fierce woman who controls everything, it's her story and Gypsy's.
It's awfully hard to put a finger on it, just describing it, what is so great about the stage play, but it has some qualities like Shakespeare or a Greek tragedy in this that you just like, go see it, you'll get it in a sense. But we're going to do our best here. I'd like to open the conversation up to the actors in the show, and maybe we should start with Mama Rose. Mary Jo Mecca.
Hello, good morning.
You're coming to Kalamazoo to join this production for, is this the first time you've performed in Kalamazoo?
First time I've been in Kalamazoo.
I understand you were recommended by your friend Stephanie Bibb.
Yes, I was.
Terry Bibb. I'm sorry, I'm looking at a
Terry Bibb. Emerging people.
Yeah, forgive me. Mm. Is this a dream come true? Have you played Mama Rose before?
I have not played Mama Rose before, no. She's definitely on my bucket list.
Your resume is very, very lengthy. You have experience in television, film, and stage. Mm-hmm. You're based in New York, so you're connected to many, many, many people that make great, great art.
Absolutely.
And
I spent time in Los Angeles as well.
Oh, really?
About 10 years in Los Angeles.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about building a famous part. is there an arc that begins the process? Do you start with getting the script? And then what is the arc like as you head toward the stage?
I dissect the script first. I see, I've read about Mama Rose. I've seen many productions, but as Kathy says, these are real people. So aside from looking at the actual Mama Rose, I pulled from my own life experience and people that I've known and strong women that I've known and women who have overcome struggles. I come from a very strong matriarch family. My own grandmother, pulled some incredible things of survival when her husband died, when her children were young. And she's really actually one of my strongest influences for this piece, because she was told, you've got to put those children up for adoption. And instead of doing that, my grandmother transferred her home from a single family home into a boarding house, because the thought of not surviving or giving up was just not an option. So I think I bring that has been laid into the fabric of my family history to it. So I pull from that a lot. You have to have a stamina. You have to have an incredible amount of stamina to play this role. And I think you also need to find the humanity in this devil of a character, as she's controlling, she's manipulative, she's scheming. She's really a survivalist. So I think as any strong female that has to, make it on her way, that has been a huge influence. That's sort of how I'm humanizing her.
What I hear is you're not pulling things out of thin air.
No. No. We have an opportunity as actors to observe people of all walks of life. And I always find it very interesting, like, where you will get where that light switch is turned, where that aha moment is in your character. A lot of it comes from historical research on that person, but I think for me, it also comes from really being aware of how people interact with each other and what their emotional journeys are, why they make the decisions that they make. From an outsider, you might say, you know, well, why would somebody even do that? You go, well, because of this set of circumstances that hit that person, that's the decision they make. My character runs into Michael Ayers' character, who is Herbie, and he is an agent. But in that time period, not only is he an agent, but we might need a little bit of protection as women on the road. So that makes him even doubly more appealing. And he's easy on the eyes.
Michael, tell me about your character and how you see his love and appreciation for Mama Rose, because he might be one of the main actors or parts that humanizes Mama Rose.
Well, it's interesting. I think Herbie is Herbie's not a real character in the real story of Rose. She was married twice, correct?
Three times.
So I'm the kind of a combination of all the husbands in a way. But I'm there, yes. I think I'm there to humanize her a bit. I'm a man in the 20s. It is very hard for women to get ahead without a man, unfortunately, but that's the way things were back then. But as far as my character goes, kind of pulling from my own life, I come from a family of very strong women, and I'm very respectful of women, always have been. And I kind of understand their, you know, struggles to try to, you know, be independent and all that stuff. So I am using that to appreciate this strong woman in Mama Rose, and understand that she needs me, and I love her very much in the show. But then I, you know, character comes to realize that that's just not enough for her.
I love you, Herbie.
Love you too, baby.
Finally, let's meet Stephanie Maloney, who plays Louise.
Hello.
Hello. Well, why don't we start with your character, and then we can maybe get into your background, too.
Yes. So Louise, she becomes the famed Gypsy Rose Lee. I think everyone's kind of talked about her briefly because it is her memoir, and she was very a part of writing the musical as well. Like, she was still alive. She came to opening night with her son. So she's ensconced in every aspect of the show, but it is about Mama Rose and her relationship with her. Louise, as a child, her friends were the boys. She wasn't the closest with her sister. Her sister was the star. But I don't think Louise wanted to go to school. She even says in the show, "I wish Mama would marry a plain man so we could all be together." And Herbie is not that man. He's keeping us on the road. He's our agent. And she doesn't want to be on the road. She wants to go to school. She wants to learn. She wants to be normal. She wants a sister.
Are we talking basically about the difference between June the extrovert and Louise the introvert?
Yeah, absolutely. She's an introvert, but she also has, by the time she gets older, she does become a stripper. So she does have this, when she finds out what she is good at, and she has watched this strong mother for so many years. You know, she loves her mother with every fiber of her being, even when she's an adult and she just yells at her. She gets so mad at her mother. She is still able to remember that she brought her up. I don't know how I'm explaining this well. She loves her mother with every ounce of her being, even when she knows that she is doing the wrong thing.
Well, that's her mother.
Yeah, it's her mother.
But this is maybe not a mother that you'd want to have a care of your emotional well-being.
Yes.
And she's putting food on the table. But
exactly. And it was a hard time. I mean, the depression was happening. So everyone really pulled their own weight in the family, and everyone had a purpose in the family. So,
let's get back to Mama Rose and an early song in this musical that is called Some People. Mary Jo, would you maybe set us up to hear this piece?
Some People follows a scene that is played at a contest of young performers, Uncle Jocko's variety show. And we win Uncle Jocko's variety show. My girls win it. But we only win it because I finagled it. I found out that there was a certain amount of pressure on Uncle Jocko to have a particular performer win. I find out about it, and I basically blackmail him, you know, not with money, just with, I manipulate him, and I manipulate everyone in the theater to make sure that my girl's act is lit well, played well, and then the orchestra is, like, on point for them. And so we win, but we only win a lousy $10. And I decide that, you know what, we're not going to do that anymore. We're gonna get out of this place. We've pretty much done everything we've could. We've played every lodge hall, every little small venue. And really the only thing to do is to get an agent and head to Los Angeles and pursue the Orpheum circuit.
This is one of the things I love about Mama Rose, because she's not waiting for someone else to help her. She knows it's not going to get done if she doesn't do it herself.
And she's also following in, she has a fantasy about her own mother who left her. Her own mother just traveled the world. And so that's what she wants to do. She's not even aware enough to know the damage that that has done to her. But I'm going to go out and see the world like my mother did. And my girls are going to do the same thing. We're going to have a life.
Anybody that stays home is dead. If I die, it won't be from sitting. It'll be from fighting to get up and get out! Some people can get a thrill knitting sweaters and sitting still. That's okay for some people who don't know they're alive. Some people can thrive and bloom living life in a living room. That's perfect for some people. Got the dream, yeah, but not the guts. That's living for some people, for some humdrum people. Well, they can stay and rot. But not wrong.
If you just tuned in, we are talking about Gypsy opening October 6th, Friday, October 6th at Farmers Alley Theater. FarmersAlleyTheater.com for full details and tickets. My guests are director Kathy Moulet, Michael Ehlers, Mary Jo Mecca, and Stephanie Maloney, all starring in this production of Gypsy. We've just heard Some People, which is a Mama Rose number. And I love it because, as we were saying, she recognizes that nobody's out to do her any favors and she has to get it done herself. Mm-hmm. And it's like a primal scream of, nope, I'm not staying where I'm staying. Mm-hmm. Things are going to change.
She's a risk taker for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But what this does to her two little daughters is sad to watch at times.
Yeah, I think initially they probably enjoy the adventure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like anything, when you get into the nuts and bolts of it, it's like, where are we going to sleep? Where are we going to eat? Do we have enough money to eat? You know, we're running into probably not the most respectable characters across the country.
Well, I think it's also interesting to note that in this particular song, immediately before it, Some People, she's eating dog food.
Really?
Because she doesn't have enough money. And the kids are saying, Mama, why didn't you eat after the show? And she's basically saying, because there wasn't enough for me. And you need your strength. So it's a very interesting, this mother, I think, really loves her children, but her desire to be noticed and to make a star and to be famous sometimes doesn't help the children in the way it should. I think June loved being the star. She wanted to be an actress. This is something she really wanted to do. But the act in the on the vaudeville circuit just kept being little kids, and she wouldn't let them grow up. And I think that's where the damage came in those two girls.
Do you think there's maybe a parallel to today with programs where people put their family life on television in a way to create them a brand for themselves, the Kardashians, for example? Is there a parallel where we see fame at the cost of relationships and...
That's an interesting point, Kara. Yeah, to bring it home.
Well, it's pretty relevant.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
There's it's a cost.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And we see and have seen historically young children who have become very famous and the troubled lives they have afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I think Gypsy Rose Lee really, and June Havoc both, struggled for many, many years in relationships. Their mother had been married 3 times. Gypsy ends up being married 3 times unsuccessfully. Mm-hmm. The patterns are kind of repeating themselves. We are who we are because of where we were when, but also who we were with.
Yeah. It is a rags-to-riches story, I guess, but there's a cost.
Absolutely. Certainly for Mama Rose. I mean, in the end, she's sort of tossed to the side. You know, so that's a rude awakening for her. She's like, well, it was always about me, and I was always invited first, and you know, it sort of slips past her. There's a line that she says, "I think everybody needs something impossible to hope for." That always sits well with me, and that, you know, I think she sort of encapsulates what drives her.
She's a bigger than life personality for sure, and we all have people in our lives like that.
I think what's also interesting is this is in the 20s, so this is before TV, this is before talkies, and the way to make money, like to make the best money, was on the it was in vaudeville. Mm-hmm. That's where you could actually make a lot of money compared to what everybody else was making. Because then we go through the Depression and all that. So even during the Depression, you were still making more money in vaudeville. So it kind of puts things in perspective. It's a little different, and that's another reason why Mama Rose wants this so mm-hmm. bad. It's security. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas now you go in show business, it's not secure at all. But back then, there was some security to it compared to everybody else's lives at the time.
You reminded me, I looked at the Wikipedia entry for June Havoc, and she was making, as a baby girl, 3, 4, 5 years old, $1,500 a week.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1920s.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
in the 20s. So,
yeah.
So it's we're not talking about a big, Mama Rose is not crazy to have her children performing.
And she, I mean, those girls didn't see that money. She took that money and they lived.
Yeah.
They lived wherever they lived in theatrical flop houses across the country. She didn't pay anybody. So any of the little boys that she brought in, the little girls that she brought in, you know, she took care of them. She fed them.
Maybe we should mention the little people on the stage.
Oh, the little people. Kathy knows all about the little people.
Okay. Well, first of all, this is the biggest production Farmer's Alley has ever cast.
Yeah, it's the largest cast. Actually, 1776, I think, had as many, but at any rate, 10 of them are children. And so we have 7 newsboys from the community, young boys that are in the production. And then Carly Koch, my granddaughter, is playing June, baby June. And then we have a baby Louise as well. Anyway, they're doing an incredible job. Melissa Sparks is doing the choreography with them. And they're absolutely delightful. And you could see in this performance what this family show that was vaudeville at the time, people, you know, you'd go and you'd see the animal act and you'd see the kids act and you'd see the comedian. Very much like America's Got Talent nowadays. I think you could compare it to that kind of family entertainment. But anyway, the children are doing a beautiful job in the show, recreating those real characters.
What did you want this production to look like?
To look like?
Yeah.
Well, it's a lavish production, so you want it to look as much like lavish as possible, and you want to create the atmosphere of the time period as well. Obviously, in the size theater we have at the Little Theater, it is representational. I mean, you go so many places, and the pieces are huge, and they're used once. So it's quite a Tetris backstage, just even moving things, and we've started working with the set. But the costuming has to be spot on as well, because you're dealing with this time period, as well as the extravagance of the vaudeville performances and Gypsy Rose Lee's strip routines, which we get to, which are, by the way, not really strip.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't come looking forward to see more than you should.
Good point.
Or less, right.
Yes. This show is recommended for kids 12 and up, I believe.
Actually, the show generally, I think, is very mild in comparison to a lot of theater that you see today.
It's 1959.
Yeah. I have no problem with these young kids that are in the show being in the show, because it's really not distasteful.
No,
yeah.
Not at all.
Well, I think I'd like to spend a little time here with Stephanie now, and go through your relationship with the character June. And at some point you sing a song hoping for release, really, from this job of being the daughters of Mama Rose.
Absolutely. Yeah, we sing a song called If Mama Was Married, and it falls in the show. We have, we are older at this point, so you've met adult Louise, I guess teenage Louise and teenage June, which is played by me and a girl, Caitlin, who is a Western graduate. Mm-hmm. She's lovely. And we have just auditioned for Mr. T.T. Grantsinger, and we have already starred on the Orpheum circuit, and we were headliners, and now we are at auditioning for him with our new act, Dainty June and Her Farm Boys. Previously, we were Baby June and the Newsboys, so now we have upgraded a bit. I am now the front end of a cow in the number, and we are sitting in the office. And Mr. Grantsinger has relayed through his secretary that he loves the show, but he actually loves June. He really sees that June has potential to be an actress, and says, we will give you a variety. We'll book the show at the Variety, which is like downtown on 12th Street. But I want to give June acting lessons for a year. However, Mama has to stay away, which does not go over well. And Mama says, no, I have made her up until this point. I can continue to make her a star. And I love this scene because it's the first time June and I are sitting on a bench together. We're seeing this whole thing happen. June wants to be an actress, and she's seeing her dreams being crushed in front of her eyes as Mama just says, no.
You can't have this opportunity.
You can't have my daughter. And it's heartbreaking, and it's the first time where you get to see June and I really be sisters on stage and really stick up for each other and really commiserate together a bit about Mama and how we wish she would just sometimes calm down.
You realize,
and get out of our lives.
Yeah,
a bit.
Finally realized that you are bonded in, in this.
Bonded in blood.
Nobody else knows what's going, you know.
Exactly.
What's going on, quite like you two. Well, let's hear it, and then we'll get back to talking with Stephanie Maloney and Mary Jo Mecca, Michael Ehlers, and Kathy Mulay of Gypsy, which opens Friday, October 6th, and continues through October 22nd. Full details at FarmersAlleyTheater.com.
If Mom
Mama was married, we'd live in a house as private can be. Just Mama, three ducks, five canaries, a mouse, two monkeys, one father, six turtles, and me. If Mama was married, if Mama was married, I'd jump in the air and give all my toe shoes to you. I'd get all those hair ribbons out of my hair and
married
and
married
and never get carried away.
We just heard an excerpt from the Gypsy soundtrack, and that's just a tiny sliver of what awaits you in a live theater performance at Farmers Alley Theater. Stephanie Maloney plays Louise and introduced that number. And I'd like to hear a little more, Stephanie, about your background as an actor and performer.
Sure.
I know that you graduated from the University of Michigan theater program.
Musical theater program.
Did you grow up in Michigan then?
I grew up in Pittsburgh, actually. And I grew up in a family of artists. Both my parents are dancers. So they were in a dance company together, and I was the first company baby. And so I always grew up sitting in the corner of a rehearsal studio, being quiet in the back of a theater. You know, I love being in the business of show. My parents aren't quite as familiar with the musical theater industry. They were more dance, but, you know, now they're teachers and they're wonderful. And my
plenty of parallels.
Yes, exactly. And my sister lives in New York City as well. She's an agent. So we're all somewhere within this crazy business.
Wow.
Yeah.
This show is just your family only.
I know, right?
80 years ago.
And it's great because I can... Because my parents are familiar with it, they're so supportive, but they're also very realistic with me about saying, okay, like, you could do this for a living, but make sure, you know, they're always very big advocates of my survival jobs and still going to class and continuing to educate myself because they know how important it is because they've been through it.
I usually don't put people on the spot like this, but I do hear a lovely just natural resonance when you're talking
in your voice.
It just goes, it buzzes nicely.
Okay. I would love to get into voiceover work. I was just talking about this earlier.
So when did you decide that you should and could sing?
The singing was kind of by accident. So I was in dance class because that's what my parents knew. And I wouldn't speak in school. I was so scared of anybody in elementary school. And my... dad was currently teaching at the Performing Arts High School in Pittsburgh, and he had a coworker who was, like, teaching at the musical theater school down the street, and he was like, bring Stephanie over. We'll put her in, like, you know, like, the little kid musical theater classes. She'll open up there. And that summer, the Pittsburgh CLO where I was taking class was doing Annie, and my mom made me audition. She was like, just do it. It'll make you, like, sing in front of people, make you stand up in front of people. And I got it, and I was Molly, and that was my first show, and I was bitten by the bug, kind of by accident, just to make me not scared. And that was it, and I loved it.
So you weren't like little June?
No,
not at all. Dainty June, is that what she's...
Baby June.
Baby June. You are a little more like Louise.
Absolutely. But now you can't get me to shut up, so...
But this art form provided the framework...
Exactly.
...that gave you... the structure to be an introvert in public.
Absolutely. It was wonderful. And I am very grateful that they, you know, I happened into those classes and I happened into that audition. And here we are.
May I just follow up with our other two actors about whether, I think the stereotype of theater is that it's just filled with people who are exhibitionists. and I think... That's not accurate. it's actually an act of bravery for many, many people, anybody to get on stage.
Mm. And for me, I'm actually
quite an introvert. You know, it's kind of similar to what Stephanie was saying. I was very quiet growing up until I found my voice in theater. And that's really what keeps me going even to this day. When I'm working, when I'm doing what I love to do, that's when I find my voice. Otherwise, I'm actually pretty quiet, you know, pretty kind of a shy guy. But I do love the art. I do love what it does to you. And as far as the I was brought up in a kind of a community theater kind of situation. My mom used to direct shows and my dad used to be in them. And it was kind of like the vaudeville of the day, because they weren't great shows, but everyone put their heart and soul into them. And so I kind of grew up watching it until I actually stepped on stage for the first time because somebody was sick. And I think I said, I know the choreography for that. And they're like, oh yeah, right. I was like 12 years old and I got up and I knew every step. Like I had just been watching it and I knew everything. And that's kind of when it all started happening. Then I guess started to get attention. And that's what made me go, oh, I can do this.
And you can sing as well.
I can sing as well, yeah.
So that feels, was that a natural thing from the beginning too?
No, I actually started as a dancer. That's what I found out I could do because I like knew all the steps. And then I kind of learned to sing and I learned to act along the way. But the dancing was the first thing that I knew I could do. It just was in my bones, yeah.
Well, it's your turn, Mary Jo. Let's hear a story.
All right. I'm the youngest of five, and I was very shy when I was younger, and but there was always music in my home. My father was he sang barbershop, he was a baritone, and so he was always singing his part around the house, and he would have me sing lead so he could check his part. Mm-hmm. He taught me straight tone singing. I had no idea what a vibrato was. He used to say, it's about two voices or several voices coming together to make one sound. So harmony. He taught me harmony, and not only how to sing harmony, but how to blend. He taught me how to use my ear. He was into classical music, contemporary music, old jazz. So there was always some sort of music happening. But not as a profession, just as a passion. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he was all into that. Meanwhile, my mother was into Shirley Bassey and Barbara Streisand. So I was probably 7 years old singing Goldfinger in, you know, my Catholic school uniform in the living room. But I no one was allowed in the room. They all had to stay in the other room. Kathy, you'll probably get this. I kind of really work by myself until I'm ready to bring it out. That's just sort of what it is. But anyway, but no theater or anyone pushing you to do it, you know, a couple plays in high school, but a lot of family storytelling, always storytelling. And we'd sit around and listen. And if your story didn't fly in the first couple lines, somebody would cut you off with their story. And if you were funny, you got out of trouble. You could have done... I remember my one brother, he built a bike out of seven good bikes. He dismantled seven bikes and made a roadster. Seven people lost their bike, but because he made that roadster... And wasn't he talented? That was considered the greatest thing ever. And so you sort of learned that, you know, I don't know, just, I don't know. I don't know if that
makes...
If you're funny, if you can make something, if you drew, they'd give you pencils. And you were always told to follow your passion and that your passion would sustain you financially.
Well, very glad that you're telling this story and that Michael and Stephanie have also told their stories, because it's a good place to remind people who are listening right now that the people that you're hearing are very real people with real stories behind them, mm-hmm. who are going to create this night of theater for you beginning October 6th. And it's not just done offstage magically. There is great work and thought and feeling in this and coming together as an audience. You're in their care, and they're going to take you through a great American story that has relevance 1959 and 2017, too. It's a great responsibility to carry the show. It's,
always.
Yeah. And have you, Mary Jo, did you say you had not played this role before?
I have not played this role. So I've played a lot of iconic roles, like in, you know, I played Fanny Bryce a couple times when I was younger. I've played Aldonza in plays. I've played, you know, pretty iconic women. So these opportunities don't come around often because, well, they're just not done often. They're really not.
Well, they're not done often because they're difficult to do. And to find somebody, I mean, we looked very long and very hard for our Mama Rose. It has to be a very special and a very specific kind of actress that can take on the power of this role. I mean, there are big roles in theater and in musical theater, but this is the King Lear of musical theater. And it's a huge responsibility, and she drives every scene.
We have just a few minutes left in the hour, and here's where we can make sure to acknowledge some of the other players on the stage with you. If any names come to mind, let's hear them. The musicians, the choreography, Kathy, maybe you can.
I mentioned earlier that Melissa Sparks is doing the choreography. Cindy Hunter is our musical director. I'm designing the costumes, but I have lots of help. Elaine Kaufman, Donna McKenna, and Jetty Noyes are all assisting me with the costume coordination.
There are 10 children.
There are 10 children, absolutely. I mentioned the couple of the girls' names earlier. Roger Burley, of course, is our stage manager and has a huge job ahead of him. Caitlin Langworth. Graduated from WMU a little over a year ago, and we're happy to have her back. We brought her in from New York. Carver Duncan, who graduated from Vicksburg High School several years ago, took my Education for the Arts musical theater performance class. We brought him back from New York to play the part of Tulsa. He's an amazing dancer, and his solo with Louise is just breathtaking. So
he's great.
One of the reasons Farmer's Alley became about is because we wanted to provide a professional stage, an equity theater in Kalamazoo, so that all those people that we have trained who have gone off to become professionals can come home and show what they've learned and how they have fine-tuned their performances. So it's a thrill to bring those folks back.
Final thoughts, Michael. I'll just go down the row here.
Well, it's an iconic musical. It's totally, it's something everybody should see. It's a wonderful story. It's very heartfelt. It's something everybody will take something away with. Yeah.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mary Jo, what do you have to say?
Everybody needs something impossible to hope for.
Terrific. And Stephanie.
Wow, so many great things have been said. I don't know. Come see Gypsy at the Farmer's Alley. We're working our tails off, and we're going into tech on Sunday, and it's just we're working so hard, so please come and see us. And there's a dog in the show. Children and dogs. You know.
Yes.
We have something for everybody.
Chowsy.
Well, finally, would you introduce this song, Everything's Coming Up Roses?
Oh, Everything's Coming Up Roses. Oh, this is a pivotal point in the plot. It's the end of the first act. I have lost one daughter. She's run off. And I decide that I'm going to shift all of my focus to the daughter that I have pushed in the back, whether she likes it or not.
Gypsy opens October 6th, continues through the 22nd. FarmersAlleyTheater.com has details on tickets and more. Kathy, Michael, Mary Jo, and Stephanie, thank you so much for coming to WMUK.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I had a dream.
I dream about you, baby. It's gonna come true, baby. They think that we're through, but